as we think about Thanksgiving, I think we kind of get bombarded by people saying what we're supposed to be thankful for, right? That's kind of how I feel. But when I thought about Thanksgiving a little bit more, I think there was something more serious going on. I think both you and I have a problem with Thanksgiving. Frankly, I think the whole world, our whole country has a problem. I think the problem is that we have an issue with contentment, with being content, right? It might be that we're kind of tired of our old car and we decide we need to upgrade. Or maybe the phone that we're using isn't quite up to date. We need something as popular like our friends have. Or the food that we have prepared on our tables, well, it could be better. Instead of mashed potatoes, I would rather have sweet potatoes. Maybe it's more serious. Maybe the husband or wife I have isn't quite as good as probably as what I could get. Maybe I should get a different wife or husband. I mean, I'm not content with what I have. Maybe my job isn't as prestigious as maybe it should be, or has as good as maybe as I'm qualified for. See where that kind of issue of contentment can take us. I think we have a problem with being content. Not just being happy with what we have, but being content. Being made to feel that we're whole, that we're complete, that we don't have to look at anything else. Well, if that is resonating a little bit with you, which I hope it is, don't be afraid, because I think it's been going on forever. If you've caught, and it might have been a little bit too quickly, but if you might have caught this issue of contentment was going on way back in the Old Testament, even. We just heard from this Deuteronomy, this book written by Moses, about him basically complaining about his people complaining. You see, the people of God that were living in Egypt were living for hundreds of years under slavery. Literal slavery, bat-breaking, sweat-dripping slavery of building up literally idols of somebody else that they lived on their land with. Eventually they were set free, and then they received the Ten Commandments, and were, because they're pretty disobedient people, they were forced to wander around the desert for 40 years. Well, God doesn't just abandon his people. God wants to take care of his people. So what does he do? He gives them water when they need it. Striking a rock and water comes out. He gives them food to eat, even in the middle of the desert. In the morning they wake up, there are little thin pieces of bread. They call manna. Bread from heaven, like little thin pastries, almost covering like dew on the ground. And they were happy with what they had. Well, this kept on going on for 40 years, if you want to do that. They started to grumble and complain. If this is how God's going to treat us, maybe we should go back to slavery. We at least had it better back then when we were under a rule of somebody. It's kind of a foolish thought. So this is what that Word of God tells them, that you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let your hunger, and he fed you with manna, which you did not know, that he might make you know that man and woman does not live by bread alone, but mankind lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. I've done this all, lest that you say in your heart, my power and my might have gotten me this wealth. We have an issue with contentment, even when we have literally nothing to be discontented about, right? Well, it's not just even that far back as the Old Testament. I think there's an issue with this idea of contentment a little bit sooner, maybe even our own lifetimes. Back in 1939, there was a young girl that was kind of sick of living on her farm, kind of out in the country with her aunt and uncle, and she wanted to get somewhere else. She wanted to run away, because literally she wasn't going anywhere. She had a lot of promise in life, and there really wasn't any hope for her, so she ran away feeling discontented. Well, eventually, she found some friends, three of them, and they all were pretty unhappy with their situation. They weren't content with what they had or what they thought that they had, so they went looking for that missing link in their lives. Well, that young girl's name was Dorothy, and her three friends were the Tin Man, the Cowardly Lion, and the Scarecrow. They were all trying to find something that they thought they were missing. A brain for the Scarecrow. A courageous heart for the Lion. A heart that would love for the Tin Man. And something about Dorothy wanted her to go back home. Well, all those issues of contentment faced themselves that they finally got to that Wizard of Oz. And the realization was that at the end, they already had those things that they felt like they were missing. They already had that brain, that courage, that heart. Because, for one, the Tin Man realized that a heart isn't measured by how much you love, but by how much others love you back. And for Dorothy, even though she wasn't happy with what she had on the farm with her Auntie M and her uncle, she realized at the very end that there is no place like home. It's all about contentment. And I think that is what causes a lot of problems in our lives. Realizing this very thing, that we have daily bread, that we don't just live by bread alone, but we have a lot of things more that we can not just be thankful for, but appreciate and remember. Man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. What is that word that comes from the mouth of the Lord? I think the word itself is our daily bread. What God says is that I am here for you. God's word tells us that He provides for you enough to make your heart contentful. Sometimes it doesn't come all at once. Sometimes God waits. He waits sometimes to humble us, sometimes to test us in order to see where we are with our heart, whether we will want to follow or obey Him or love Him or not. That Word of God is our daily bread. But there's other things that make count for daily bread that we can be thankful for. In a little bit, after our sermon, we'll hear the Apostles' Creed. And when we say what we believe in God the Father, maker of heaven and earth, this is what we're actually saying. I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that He has given me my body and soul, my eyes, ears, all my members, my reason, my senses, and He still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife, husband, children, land, animals, and all that I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need in order to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger and guards and protects me from all evil. All this He does only out of fatherly, divine goodness and mercy without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, to serve and obey Him. This is most certainly true. That was a lot of stuff. Body, soul, senses. You see, it's not just that turkey that we have on the table that we're thankful for. Clothing, shoes, house, home, husband, wife, family, land, animals. God is the one who gives you these things. It's not just by your own job, your own work, your own money. If it wasn't for God, you wouldn't have jobs or work or money. But He gives them to you so that you might be content. So do you have daily bread? Yes, you better believe it. We have this from God. And more than that, we have the daily bread that we need. We have the Word of God in our lives. So that we just don't live by bread alone. We don't just live by things alone. God gives us His Word, and that Word of promise is saying that I am here for you. I'm here when trouble arises. I am here when there are things in life that you might not be thankful for. I am here for you. That's literally what God's name means, Emmanuel, which we'll look forward to in the coming weeks of Advent. God in the flesh, coming for you. That's what Thanksgiving is all about. Not just being thankful for the material things that we have, but by the immaterial things that we have every day and that we have eternally. Contentment. That's the issue that we're talking about. So in order to think about that, I wanted to at least figure out how you can have contentment. How can you today, in order to try to be thankful for something, how can we learn to be content? I think St. Paul actually told us. If you caught it, this was in our second reading from St. Paul when he's writing this letter to this people in Philippi, the Philippians. I know what it is to be in need. And I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. What do you think that secret of being content is? He says it in this next sentence. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. That's the secret of our contentment. Even though we might not always have happiness in life, we can have joy, we can have contentment, because we can do everything through the one that gives us strength to live. If we have a God that is big enough, is strong enough to defeat death, if we have a God that's big enough and strong enough to defeat sin in your life, to raise you up from the mistakes of our own lives, we have a God that's big enough and strong enough to lead your lives into eternal life. That's something to be thankful for. St. Paul can say that. He knew what it was to be in want, in need. He went plenty of days, even months, starving on his missions. He was not always rich. He was probably never rich. He depended on other churches, other people to get by. He faced persecutions. He was stoned to death. He was burned. He faced three different shipwrecks. He almost drowned. And yet he knew what it was to be content. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. You see, it's not you that's the strong one. Not any of us. But we can still do everything as if we were the one that was strong, because God is strong for you. That's what contentment, that's what Thanksgiving is about.